Thank you so much for having me. We are indeed grateful to have this opportunity to be here with the church at Poteau, Oklahoma. I'm usually not garbed up this way. We kind of dressed up for Sunday. A little self-conscious about this microphone on my ears. Shiloh told me, didn't matter, Gary, don't worry about what you look like, as long as we can hear you. So I'll take her advice. Before we get started, I don't want to put anybody to sleep, so I want to see if you'll stand one more time and join with me as we sing Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me,
this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
As we begin this morning, I ask you to take just a few minutes and reflect on your own life. Ask yourself, why am I here? First and foremost, we're here to worship God and to praise God. And while we do just that, I want you to challenge you to reflect on ways and learn ways to serve your community. Specifically, ways that you can help at-risk children right here in your neighborhood. So listen closely and listen to the words from God's book with an open heart, an open mind, a willingness to apply what you find in your daily life. So most of you may be expecting me to talk a lot about Southern Christian Home. And I could spend a great deal of time talking about that. We could talk about how long we've been there in Morrilton, Arkansas. And this church, this great church and community here in Oklahoma that have supported us for so many years. We could spend a lot of time talking about terms like family style living or independent living programs. Or we could talk about alternative learning environments that we have to put together. We could talk about foster families. We could talk about our equestrian program and equine therapy. And I could talk for a long time about how great the people of Poteau have been to the work there at Southern Christian. We could talk a lot about how we're funded. And I could put on my fundraising hat. And we could talk about church budgets and how important it is for us to have the resources to carry on our work. We could talk about different ways that you could give. And instead of doing that, I just put a handout in the foyer. And so there's three pages or so in the foyer that you can look at to see the many ways that you can participate in helping with funding the home. We could spend a long time talking about child welfare and the laws in the state of Arkansas, in the state of Oklahoma. We could talk about how difficult it is to navigate those rules and those regulations. We could talk, I have some slides, but I'm not too ambidextrous. I guess this is my button. Okay, you can hit the next slide. I'm not getting it. So you can go to about slide 3. Our Hope Academy is our alternative living environment. You can keep rolling there. Next slide. We talk about people, child welfare in Arkansas. There's a couple of charts, the next slide or two, that shows some numbers. There's more of our ALE people. Here's our numbers in Arkansas that show the number of foster care children. We're in 2017, we were up to just over 5,000. Now we're about 4,300. With the pandemic now in 2021, we're back up to about 4,900. There's more kids in foster care now in Arkansas because of the pandemic than there were in 2017. I think the next slide may show the number of foster beds that we have in our care. We could spend a lot of time talking about those things. I think everybody knows that the crisis exists in our society. How many children there are in Oklahoma, I'm not sure. But I know that there's plenty of homes just like Southern Christian in Oklahoma. We never have a problem of not having kids that need our care. That's never an issue in our business. No matter what the laws are in any state, there's always going to be a vital need for the church to take care of children. It goes all the way back to Roman culture. When the Romans had the 8-day rule and they could take babies until they were 8 days old and discard the child if they decided they didn't need to. And it wasn't until 306 when Constantine, the first Christian emperor, changed that rule and changed those laws in the Roman culture. And people still didn't want to keep all of their kids. And so babies, instead of being discarded, were now taken somewhere to be cared for. And they took those babies to the homes of the Christians. And that's when child care began. And it's our role as a church to step up. We could take some time to talk about church growth or the lack of church growth. And where are our teenagers going that grow up in the churches of Christ throughout this nation? And why is our assemblies dropping year after year as a whole? Are we going to be able to turn those things around? It's very refreshing when Michael and I were here this morning and sitting in your classes to see that you're in tune to start a riot. You're on board to try to teach your community and bring the church back to where we need to be. We could talk about what are we doing in our churches that will help generate more activity so that we have bigger foyers and that your new worship areas and your new assembly areas will be covered up with people in the future. It's good to see that Paul and your elders are working toward working in a prison ministry, working in the community. You can tell by all the activities of this group that this church is alive. This church is ready to help spread the gospel of Christ throughout this community and throughout Oklahoma. We could talk about James 1:27, which is what most of us that are in my role talk about a lot. That's the scripture that teaches us that pure religion is to visit orphans and widows. And so often that's what we proclaim to churches as we travel about, whether it's me or someone else in another organization or agency. But today I want to talk about baseball. When I was growing up in Amarillo, Texas, I met Michael in the seventh grade. We went to Amarillo Junior College and then West Texas State University. And we started having and building our family. So we have two boys and a girl. And the age difference between our two boys were just enough that when my oldest son aged out of Little League Baseball, my youngest son began Little League Baseball. So we taught and coached Little League Baseball for almost 20 years. And we learned over those 20 years that the key to success were how good were your weakest players? We had a big fancy draft system in Amarillo where we would keep five players from year to year, and then you would have to draft your other seven players. And we started doing that when they were 6 years old, and that went all the way up through the age of 13. And every year you would have a different group of players. And we spent more time hitting ground balls and throwing more pitches toward the weaker players in our practice sessions than we did the players that we kept from year to year. And we had great success over that. A lot of my message this morning comes from a book that I've read recently called Make Room and Listen. And it's written by Dr. Harold Shank, who's an elder at the Memorial Road Church of Christ in Oklahoma City. And so today I want to talk about listening to children and taking care of the weakest. So I'm going to take our lesson from Matthew chapter 21. We'll begin. I want to read you the first 17 verses. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there and her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes to the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area, drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. When the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes. Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise'?" And he left them, went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Jesus makes a glorious and triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The whole city is stirred because of an outbreak of praise. Jesus appears in the city mounted on a donkey, which was the vehicle of kings in those days. And as he entered the city, he hears shouts from the crowd, "Hosanna," a word that's not often used in the New Testament. In fact, this is the only place this word is used in the books of the New Testament. And Hosanna is not often used today. The name Hosanna means "save us, I pray." Or if you look it up in your dictionary, it will be defined as a cry of acclamation or adoration. Jesus took a path prepared by the crowd up the slope of Mount Moriah, mounted on this donkey as he passed through the temple gate. The temple's outer court was filled with commerce. It bustled with people voices, noise, chatter, and other nonsense. Jesus did not feel good. His emotions were troubled by what he saw in his own eyes. So he acted. He decided to clean house and aggressively clean the courtyard and the temple of all the buyers and the moneymakers. He cleared the businessmen, the noise, the nonsense. He overturned the tables as he spoke the words of Isaiah 56 and Jeremiah, saying, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers." Verse 13 of chapter 21. An interesting thought here is that this story of Jesus entering Jerusalem on a donkey and entering the temple is found in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. However, this morning I want us to look at something that's only recorded in the book of Matthew. Two things happen next in Matthew's account. And as we look at that, let's go to our Father in prayer first. Oh Lord, we come to you at this time as a group of people who are sinners and need your grace and your mercy. We need your word so that we can find our steps, so we can find our way, so we can find the comfort of your indwelling spirit, and that we can find the ways for us to navigate our lives and our worship today. We pray that everything we say today is in accordance with your will. Pray that you'll be with each one of us as an individual as we look to your word and listen to your words. Be with all of us who are watching online or at home. We pray for comfort for all of us, all of those. Help us to be mindful of how blessed we are, and be with us as we pass that blessing on. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things, and amen. Jesus was acting as a man to restore the culture of the temple. He needed a place to work with the weakest, the vulnerable, those who needed him. He needs room. This was his last week on earth, so he only has a short period of time to work, and his character seemed to look somewhat different than what we've seen. He seemed to be aggressive. With the temple courtyard now vacated, the blind and the lame came to him and he healed them. You see, Jesus was making room for the vulnerable, the weaker, the little league baseball player that maybe did not have all the talents and the skills that some of the other kids have. He needed his space and he needed a field to throw more pitches. He needed a place to make room so that he could pass on the blessings. Before Jesus came in that day, the sightless, the lame, they could not get on the field. They couldn't get into the courtyards or into the temple. It was too crowded for those people. They were not accepted. They were too weak. It was impossible for them to navigate the crowds and the system of that commerce. But now, Jesus was there. He had room to treat their ills, and he fixed what was broken. He turned what was not good into good, and they found welcome and comfort next to him. You know, in our world today, I'm mindful of all the children in our culture who cannot navigate our system. With homeschooling the norm, with virtual learning the norm, many of our weakest families are being left behind. We must be mindful of their needs. That day in our history, in Jerusalem, the needy, the at-risk children, and the families of Jerusalem. They found welcome next to Jesus. The next event in our text today is only recorded by Matthew as well. The temple courts were filled with children, and they were noisy children at that, shouting Hosanna to the Son of David. The noise of commerce had been replaced with the shouts of praise, and the adults, the priests and the teachers, they were bothered by this noise. The noise of children shouting praise to Jesus. The scripture tells us that they were not just bothered, but they became indignant. And they said to Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus responded, "Yes." He quotes from Psalms 8, verse 2, "From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have ordained praise." So now the story has turned to children. And we want to look and think about and imagine if you were there. Where did these children learn that behavior? Maybe they were the children of some of the families who were next to Jesus for the first time. Maybe they were part of a family where their dad could not walk until he met Jesus. Or maybe they were there because their mother was blind and now she could see because now there was room to enter and be next to Jesus. Maybe God planned for them to be there to shout Hosanna, to fulfill the scripture and to continue the story of Jesus. So in our lesson today, when you look at this story, I hope you can see that sometimes as adults, our faith is a little different than it should be. Some of us who spend a great deal of time, who've studied and learned to be financial analysts or businessmen, that we lose track of where our faith should be and we get hung up in our order of worship. We get hung up in our schedules or our rulemaking. And the adults that day that did that were not very happy. They'd lost control. They got preoccupied and they became indignant. But that day, the children, who should just be out playing, hung on Jesus' every word and gave praise to God and shouted the statements of deep faith. So I'd encourage us today to listen to our children. We are Southern Christian Children's Home in Morrilton, Arkansas. We're asking you today to keep us in your daily prayers. I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for our staff. Pray for all the great child welfare workers of the state of Arkansas to always listen to the children. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast brought perfect praise. Jesus affirmed this. I hear these children, he said. I hear their shouting. I hear what they say. Jesus listens to children. So our work at Southern Christian Home begins. We've started a lot of new programs in the last couple of years because of the pandemic. Created some issues, made us reevaluate. We now have an alternative learning environment on our campus. And so when a child comes out of care, whether it's coming out of foster care or juvenile probation, or whether they're just coming out of one of our church families, it's a displacement that creates behavioral problems. It's a placement usually that where you have a child who is substantially behind in their schoolwork. So this alternative learning environment allows us to keep the kids on our campus. It allows us to stabilize their behaviors, determine where they are emotionally, so that we can assist them with de-escalation from the ordeal of family displacement and finding a new location. We spend a great deal of time with virtual learning and Google Chromebooks and doing homework together in our cottages. We're actively and seeking new foster home families every day within our congregations across Arkansas to serve us, those who can provide a Christian-centered home for neglected children who need a home in their hometown and their community. We just need families who will listen to the children. We'll take them to a church and gather with youth groups and youth ministers, just like your youth group and your ministers here, so that they can find a relationship with each other and with individuals like yourself. Those children need the gospel of Christ. Southern Christian becomes a safe place for those and a place where they can go when they feel alone. While they're in our care, they have an opportunity to learn horsemanship, and they attend Bible classes, they get involved in our church programs, and they learn social skills through our churches. Our exceptional house parents are committed. They're committed first to their own Christian walk, committed to each other as a husband and wife, committed to our children in care and the programs that we have developed. We are the people who listen to children. A few slides up, there should be a slide on need for relationship. There we go. The need for relationship is more powerful than the need for food. Trust is built through knowledge. So we at Southern Christian, we talk to children in order to learn. We do things together to learn. We stay consistent in our message as we learn. And all of that is done so that we can stay the course in building trust. We focus on understanding emotions. When children have the why me attitude as adults in our relationship, we must understand these emotions. If you'll take yourself to, again, back to our baseball analogy, or any sport, anytime there's a timeout, whether it's a timeout for a manager to meet with the pitcher, or whether it's a teammate conference or a coach talk, or even the time that you need to have a little discussion with the referee or the umpire. Each one of these discussions will always have some term or phrase in it that has to do with somebody controlling their emotions. So remember that effective emotions regulate behaviors, and that we perceive emotion in order to use emotion to facilitate thought in children. We take the time to understand their emotions, and then we help them manage their emotion. In Southern Christian, we must have empathy for children that God brings to us. We strive to get inside their world and to develop a sense of where they are. We must always look at these children as not as a project for us to work on or a reason to do what we do, but to feel and to understand just where they are in this world. And we need to understand, why are they in my life at this moment and at this time? Southern Christian and this church are in the people business. I think there's another slide. Yeah. So we are the church. We're in the people business. Successful relationships are our product. We build trust as a strategy. And we hope and pray that every one of our steps are guided by the Spirit of God and by Jesus. One very powerful emotion is fear. In life, in church, in school, at Southern Christian, we strive to be a fearless organization who are devout disciples of Jesus. So often when you're teaching little kids how to play ball, a lot of kids will come in and tell us that off the field that, man, I was just hoping they weren't going to hit the ball to me. That fear robs us. It robs you of your power to act. And it robs you of your mind to be able to reason. So if you're scared when the ground ball comes to you, sometimes you can't physically make the play. But even if you physically make the play, sometimes you don't know what to do with it when you get it. And it's all because of fear. When God brings us a teen or a child who is struggling and they say to us, I've thought often of Romans 7, verse 14 and following. And if you'll allow me, this is my own translation of what we hear from teenagers many times when they come to Southern Christian for the first time. They say things like, oh yeah, I know the rules. I know you want me to go to church and be like Jesus, but I'm not spiritual. I'm not into that. It's just not me. I want to do good, but in my head I do bad. It seems to please me. I do not want to do that. It's just the way that I am. I'm not like you, and I cannot be. You are right. Your rules are good. They're just not for me. My nature is different than yours. I want to do good, but I'm just kind of an unhappy person. When we hear that, we proceed with caution and with love. We refer to Matthew 7:1, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. James 2:12-13. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. It's our prayer that every child God brings to us will leave knowing that they will not always be this way. God loves them, we love them, and change can happen when they learn to trust and accept the truths found in our scriptures. They too can have a relationship and live the fullness of life. They can accept the gospel of Christ. All we can do at Southern Christian is hope that seeds are planted, the word of God is introduced, and they no longer step back, but embrace our hand as we offer it. It's our goal, our desire, and our prayer and belief that someday, sooner or later, every child we serve will say, you know, those people at Southern Christian, those are the ones who taught me how to drive. They taught me to respect all people. They taught me how to save money. I learned to take from my earnings and give to the church. They taught not to rely on government programs as my livelihood. I learned to get a job and to care for myself. I learned to be a good person and to take care of my family. I love the Lord, and I love the church. So I pray each and every child God brings to us will say with their in their heart, while they're in our care, or maybe later, someday they will say, I found him. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and he is the reason that I live. I hope that God will continue to bless this great group of people here known as the Poto Church of Christ. God will continue to bless each one of you because you pass on the blessing. I can tell just by our brief few hours that I've been here today. I've only got another hour, so everybody just relax. That you guys are willing to work and do the work of the Lord's church. And so as we reflect on our own lives individually, as I reflect on what I've been saying and what I hear from God's word as we prepare for this lesson, I would like for you to reflect on your life as well. And I'm just going to read a few scriptures that we teach at Southern Christian in closing so that you know what we're about. We're a ministry of the churches of Christ, and we are the church. We're a state agency in the state of Arkansas for residential child care. We're a state agency for child placement. But we are a state agency that's permeated with the gospel of Christ. We are a faith-based agency. We teach Galatians 3:26 through 29. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. For you are all one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Today, I just want you to reflect and promise me that you will come out of this pandemic, we'll get past these new variants of COVID, no matter what they are, that God's in control of our lives, and that you will reignite your passion for the poor. You'll reignite your passion for taking care of children. If you want to move to Morrilton, Arkansas, we'll put you on the payroll. Because the hardest thing in our business is the hardest thing since the beginning, is to find the people that will care for these children. And so there's a lot of people like me that get to drive around in their pickup with their wife, with their grandkids, all safe in Texas. I think they're safe. And talk about what they like to talk about, which is the story of Jesus and sharing that blessing and that gospel to everyone that we come in contact with. But especially to reach out for the children, no matter where they are in your community, no matter what their parents do or say, no matter what the need might be, no matter how disrespectful they might be to you, if you can show the love of Christ to a child, we have fulfilled our obligations to our Lord, and to our faith. So in closing, maybe someone here this morning needs to respond to God's word that they've heard through our song service or through our prayer service or during our communion together. If you've been moved in any way where you feel like you need to come forward, I can't point at any elder at this time, but I'm sure there are some here. I am confident that there is water available somewhere. If someone wants to put on Jesus Christ for the first time today in water baptism and commit their lives to their service to the Lord, this will be the time to do that. I want to encourage you to reach out to each other if you need to pray for one another. Reach across the aisle if you need to just pray with someone that you've been needing to talk to. Reflect on your own life and see where you are in your relationship with your Lord. If you need to come forward, this is your opportunity. If there's anything that I can do for you, if we can talk to you more about the home, answer questions about Jesus Christ, answer questions about child welfare, help you navigate the system in Oklahoma, then we're open to that discussion. I really enjoy being here today. I hope that you found our message uplifting and the truth from the Word. If you'd like to come forward and respond either with each other or up here at the front, let's stand and sing.
Have you been to